Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify you. Praise the name of the Lord forever and forever. Hallelujah. Reminded when the song about In Your Presence, we have a promise in the blueprint for 2020. The Lord said, as we continue to do what he instructed us to do, said, I'm coming with my presence. Now, he's here already, but he's coming with his presence. It'll be so strong, people will have a hard time even exiting the building or even standing up. I'm reminded again, I see the picture again. I wasn't there, but I've read about Azusa Street. And it was such a common occurrence there that the Shekinah glory would come in. I said, it'd be like, everybody could see it. It was like a fog, not a fog machine. Everybody could see it. It'd be like maybe 2 feet off the ground, you know. And he said the children would go play in it. They'd play hide and seek in it. Give us some of that. I'm for some of that. I'll go play hide and seek in it. Hallelujah. His presence, in his presence. Hallelujah. God, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I did a little research after at the 8:30 service. They played a video of Alan Taylor. I don't know if you know this, but within the last year now, he started his own YouTube channel. And you can find it. Just go to YouTube and type in Alan Taylor Ministries. This one was called something like, How Could God Love Me? You know, none of you have ever thought like that. Yeah, how could God love me, you know? I think the title is How Could God Love You, I think. And, you know, there was a small group at the 8:30 service, even smaller than this group. And so I don't know how many heard it this morning, but I looked online, you know. It's only been at his website a little less than 2 months, and it's been seen 466 times. You give it another few months, word of mouth, it'll spread. See, your Bible says every kindred, every tongue. We can see how it's coming. It's going to spread around the world. We live in an amazing time. Amazing times. You see, I didn't bring any notes with me. This is a special service. And one of the reasons it's special, it's the first service in July. Yesterday was the 4th of July. And I hope you had hot dogs, hamburgers, and boom booms. And I thank God for the 4th of July. I thank God for the independence that we have, the freedom that we have. And this is... yes, God. This is the first service of the second half of the year. Okay, hard to believe. This is the first service of the second half of the year. And I got an instruction just sitting there a while ago. I had to look it up on my phone. You know, he knows what's on my phone better than I know what's on my phone. You'd think he's God or something. Which he is, of course. And I'm supposed to read this. And then throughout this service, every now and then, I think, what I'm going to read is a small portion from what we call the blueprint for 2020. And it's basically 10 prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk Flint. Most of you know about that. Gave us very precise instructions for this year. And the part I'm supposed to read is out of the second prophecy. The one titled Bring Me Gold. And this came October 13th of 2019. Now that's important. Okay, 2019. And boy, it's tailored not just for the prayer center, but for the prayer center message, which is God's message, the message that has come to maturity. Okay, he's refining that even a little bit. Those that have heard the call to press into a real revival, a real supernatural revival, the kind that we see Jesus doing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. whether you call it, well, no matter what you call it, but if you've heard that call to lay your life down, because it's obviously not happening in the earth right now. If Jesus was still having his own meetings around in Israel today, I don't care if I had a blind child born blind and the doctors say there's no hope at all. Like Dave used to say, he said, it might, you know, to get in the healing line, to get into one of Jesus' services, I may have to wait a year to get my child in there. But one thing I know for sure, if I can get my child to Jesus and he lays his hands on my child, I'm bringing that child home sin. Now, I don't have any problem with that at all. But see, Jesus said, the works that I do, those that believe on me, the works that I do, shall you do also. That's the mission of the prayer center. It goes all the way back to Pastor Dave. He, from the very beginning, he said God told him, gave him a mandate to take a group of people and go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city first. But then that revival, that would spark, but it would spread around the world and bring in the end time harvest, the greatest harvest probably of all time. Well, if that hooks you, it hooked me from the very beginning. I'm still hooked today. It's been a spell, okay? But I'm still hooked today, and I'm not interested in anything else, to be honest with you. I'm not interested in church growth. I'd like to have a nicer building. I don't care if we meet in the field under a tent as long as we're still pressing toward revival. I'd care because I love air conditioning. Don't get me wrong. You know, I like nice things, sure. But none of that, give me revival or give me death, you know. We've got to have this. Like, remember Dave would say, is this all there is? Is this it? Is this the best we can hope for, what we see in church, the church world today? Even at the best. If you know of a church where I could take a blind child every time and get that child healed every time, I'm going to that church. Trouble is, there isn't any right now. But there will be. And there's going to be a lot more than one. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's going to do the same work. He's just doing it through a different body. Hello, body. I got to be careful that I don't preach. Because he told me to let him speak today. And I'm doing my best to let him do that. So I've got to back way up and not run down no trails. See? Because I got to let him open every door. The first door is to read this. I'm just going to read a part of it. Don't get scared. Bring me gold. See, and this is so worded precisely. This is like the Lord sitting down with us here at the prayer center and all of you that had the same vision for revival around the world. We've got such dear friends. I hate to start mentioning countries because I'll leave one out, and I don't mean to leave one out, but you know, all around the world, you know who you are. And this is so worded, just he's talking to all of us with that heart. Have I not asked you, being a body from the very beginning, to bring forth fruit, to bring forth that in the earth which I have laid my hand on you to bring forth, says the Spirit of grace. And I caution you again and encourage you again and solicit from you again as my dear children to bring me gold tried by fire, says the Spirit of grace. And I do not speak specifically of the trying by fire, by testings and trials of which your faith will often be, but I am asking you to come and complete the purging process, says the Spirit of grace. Did he say it clear? Do not trade your gold for brass. Do not trade your gold for brass. For have I not asked you? Have I not selected you? Have I not cautioned you that I have not selected you above others, that you would go in a way of pride or arrogance? Yet I have given you a calling that no one can achieve in the earth except through prayer and except through fasting, says the Spirit of grace, except through going into my word and the things of depth and promise. One more paragraph. Have I not given you a mandate? Now, if the Lord sat down across the table from you, because if you're here, you're part of this. And if you're listening, you're part of this. You know if you've hooked up with this vision. Have I not given you a mandate from the very beginning? Says the Spirit of grace, and I have gathered your hearts and souls here as one to bring forth that mandate of prayer, says the Spirit of the Lord. Now here is the sentence this is the sentence that this service is founded on right here. Go into me like you never have. Determine in this year to come. Would you say that with me out loud? In this year to come. That you will make this a place of prayer inside of you like you have never known. Now, I could go on. It's wonderful. All of it's wonderful. I've heard them all over 50, probably 60 times by now. I keep listening. It's a wonderful thing to listen to them while you pray. Now, let's say that's... Yes, sir. Would you say Noah received detailed instructions from the Lord? How to build the boat. If you go back and read the instructions, boy, it's precise. And Noah is listed in the Hall of Faith. Why? Because he received those instructions? Or because he did those instructions? Because he did them. Faith without works is dead. See, we have received our instructions, I believe. I'm just reading one little part. We have received our instructions no less than Noah received his. Noah changed. Because of Noah's obedience, there are humans on the planet. Had it not been for Noah's obedience, there would be no humans. God would just have to start all over again. Don't know what they would look like. Because it was down to one family. Eight souls is all that came through that one. But Noah received his instructions, but he's not listed in the Hall of Faith because he received instructions. He's listed in the Hall of Faith because he did the instructions he received. My friend Homer Betancourt has got a great message. You ought to hear it. It's called Do, Do, Do. And it means do what the Lord says. We have received our instructions. Now, my phone keeps thinking I'm through, and I'm not through. That one sentence. Determine in this year to come. Now, that was given in October of 2019. What would be the year to come? Let's see. 2019, what would be the year to come? That would be, see, I'm a teacher. That would be the year 2020. What year are we in? 2020. And did he say, determine in the 6 months to come? No. He said, determine in the year to come. Yeah. We're halfway through. That's why he's doing this today. This is the first service of the second half of the year. Now, I have no idea what you're doing at home. I don't know. I only know who's here on the group prayer times. He didn't say you had to meet during the group prayer times that we have here at the church. But I know precious few are doing it during the group times here at the church. I hope to God you're doing it at home. See, for some of us, God, how do you say that, Lord? I don't want to say. See, when he says that to me, when Gary, not you, when he says, Gary, determine in the year 2020 that you will make this a place of prayer inside of you like you never have before. But that means for Gary more than 50 hours a week of prayer. Because I've had that year already. I had it in the trucks. You remember the truck days? Gary, are you trying to brag? I don't even want to say this. But he's trying to teach. I'm just saying, I don't know what your year is like. I don't know. Maybe you prayed 2 hours a week. But if that's your best year, you need to at least do that. Because he's saying pray more than you ever have before. Sue, go start the car now, baby. Do you hear the silence? Hallelujah. Yes, sir. See, I got to wait. I can't. See, we've got... There's a turmoil in our nation. Some of it rightly so, I think. Some of it not. I thought about having my brother Richard come up here and stand beside me, but I didn't get an approval from the Lord from that. See, I'm the whitest cracker probably in this place. Besides that, I'm an old white cracker. Man, I'm the bad guy now. According to certain philosophies that are in the land right now. And if I had Richard come up, you know, he's got that beautiful dark color, you know. There's others here I could have come up. How did Dave describe the Caucasian skin, that melanomic skin that we have? See, Adam and Eve is called the mother of all living. But it's talking about all the children of Adam. Adam and Eve are the parents of my flesh. The only reason that we differ in color is our skin, because we're the bodies that we're wearing right now are still descended from Adam and Eve. But see, my body is no more me. I can go out and get in my car, but I am not that car. I'm just in the car. And I've had more than one car. I wish we could have more than one body. I'd trade this one in right now. Newer model, you know. But just because I'm in the car doesn't mean I am the car. Well, I'm in this white cracker body, but I'm not a white cracker, not really. See, Richard and I have, now that we're both born again, we're not white or black. We're Christian. We're not even Gentile or Jew. That wall of partition's been broken down. Out of the two, he's made one new man. Isn't that true? That's right. My blood is A negative. If Richard's is A negative, you know, we can save each other's life with our blood. Isn't that right? You know? Doesn't matter. Now, in my soul, because of how I was... Yes, sir. Okay, I'm not going to ignore anything he shows me. This is to my father, O.R. Carpenter, to his great credit. Dad was raised in a different generation, in a different time than me. And he had very strong opinions about the races. I'm just going to, my dad's a good man. I'm not trying to demean my father in any way. I'll stack him up against most dads. Good man. But he had some very strong opinions when it came to the races, okay? But to his credit, near the end of his life, somewhere in the last 10 years of his life, he drew me aside and he said, "Son, I got to tell you, I need to tell you something." He says, "When it comes to race, I know I'm wrong. I know it. But I don't know how to change." Now, he was probably 80-something when he told me this. He said, "I'd have to go back and be born all over again almost, you know." Now, he's saved, don't get me wrong, but he's talking, I'd have to just almost live my life again. He said, "But I know I'm wrong. But at my age, I don't know how to change." See, well, I thought that was to his credit that he told me that. See, I don't know how racist I am. I don't know. I don't think I am. But I heard someone say, you never know about these protesters, you know. One the other day said, "It's racist to say you're not racist." Well, maybe it is. I don't know. Let me say it a different way. In the same way my dad acknowledged strongholds that he knew were wrong but didn't know how to change, I acknowledge I probably have some strongholds. I was raised in a culture different. Okay, I don't want to be, but I probably if the Lord exposes, there may be some. See, and I believe if there's injustice going on, I still believe in our Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, liberty, justice for all. And if there's being injustice against certain races, that needs to be fixed. Okay? But thank God he's raised up people, and when it comes time to vote, I'm going to vote the best I know how. But see, I'm holding it up. Every time I hold his phone up, I'm holding up the blueprint. But see, for Gary, for this year, I have my instructions. If I have racist thoughts in me, and I probably do, hate to even say that, but I probably do, what would be the cure for that? See, my dad was never baptized in the Holy Ghost. He loved Jesus. He got saved by the blood of the Lamb, but he never got baptized. He doesn't know anything about turning himself over to the purging ministry of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't know anything about that. I do. Say, well, so if I acknowledge, I probably do, Richard, have some racist tendencies in me. I know Richard doesn't have any in him, but I do. Well, how would, Gary, what would be the answer? I think I have my instructions. I have my instructions. Boy, when I'm like this, Carol Smith from Bartlesville, who works for Voice of the Martyrs, which is a group that I highly endorse. I love that ministry. Sent a document that I thought was just wonderful. It's like 5 or 6 pages, and it's all really good. And I thought about bringing that up and sharing that today and speaking from that today. And the Lord says, no, I don't want you. I have given my instructions for this church and all those connected with it. And that is the blueprint. Now, we all have to do things. What I mean by that, I am going to vote. I'm going to do the best I can. If you think for a second I'm going to vote for anybody that endorses abortion, now I don't believe God's a Democrat or a Republican. I'm not at all. But 2 and 2 make 4, and if you're for abortion, I'm not voting for you. Now, see, legalizing or delegalizing abortion is not the answer. Because if we delegalize? If we delegalize it, they're still going to be getting abortions. Yeah. See, the answer is not legal. The answer is revival. Yeah. Mothers, it's not natural for mothers to kill their babies. No. Especially it's not for born-again people. The answer is get them born again. The answer is a real revival. It's the only hope for this nation. But in the meantime, if I've got a choice between somebody who's for abortion on demand or against abortion on demand, that choice is easy for Gary. And there's other things. See, there's other things. But again, I have my instructions for this year. I already know what he wants me doing. And for me, it's a lot of prayer times. Who knows? Homer here. Am I praying or not? She knows, see? I wouldn't ask her, but it's the truth. She knows I am. My soul gets so tired of praying. You want to know the truth? I'd like to say that every time I pray in tongues, especially when I have a long stretch, 7 hours, 8 hours. And I'd love to say it's me and Jesus tiptoeing through the tules. And oh, I can feel his presence and the anointing, and I'm just dripping with the love of God. That would be wonderful. It'd be easy to pray if it was that way. My soul. I'll just tell you the truth. I always try and tell you the truth. Last Sunday morning. See, yes, sir. Okay, yeah. See, I'm not kidding when I do that. Before I say what I was going to say, he wants me to say this. I and you, if you're doing this, right now your soul is in a transition from one world to the other. You're being reprogrammed by God the Holy Ghost. If you're doing these instructions, you're literally losing your mind for one world and gaining your mind for another. And sometimes that can feel really like, can I say torment? Can I say crazy? Last Sunday morning, I was so trying to prepare to come and teach, I thought I was losing my mind. I can't tell you the number of times I started. You know, I can get Tim with one press on the phone here. You know, Tim, I can't do it. You're going to have to teach. Get B to teach. Somebody's got to teach. I mean, get Sue to do it. Sue can do it. Sue says, get B. I mean, that's a good description. It's like my soul is in between two worlds. I can't hardly say nothing. I felt like I was going crazy. It's not like I didn't love the Lord. Yes. You know, just crying out for mercy. God, you got to have mercy. I wasn't even mercy for me. I was wanting to have mercy on you guys because you got to come and listen. You don't got to, but. You know, and he gave me this. You know, the Lord is so good to us. He gave me the simplest instruction. And I had time to do it. I get up pretty early on Sundays. I get pretty early every day. He said, listen to the first sermon of the Sermon on the Mount. I said, Lord, I taught that. Listen to it. I'm telling you. See, it may be my voice, but that is not my message. You understand what I mean by that? That came from the lips of the Master. That came from Jesus. That is the mind of Christ. And I'm telling you, by the time I finished that message, I was like my mama. I was ready to whoop any wildcats that are in front of me. Yes, my mama, how you doing? She'll say, you got any wildcats you want whipped? She's only 99 now. Come on. Come on. So I made her hot dogs yesterday. It's un-American to have a 4th of July and not have hot dogs now. So we grilled some hot dogs and I thought, how many for mama? Because, you know, mama can eat. You got to watch mama. She's not overweight. I thought, well, you know, 4 hot dogs, you know. I thought, I'll cook her 4 of them. We cooked a bunch, but I took 4. She ate 3 while I was sitting there. Then after that, she had, what do you call it? Chocolate peanut butter cup ice cream. You know what she says when she eats it? Good and good for you. 3 hot dogs with mustard and a big bowl of chocolate peanut butter cup ice cream. 99. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sunday candle. And I got to get my train of thought back. Oh, yes, sir. So praying here is easier, to be honest with you. At the church, it's easy. It was harder to pray during the lockup time because there are so many diversions at home. It's so many things easy to get distracted by. And I didn't do as well, to be honest with you. But one thing that thank God for Pastor Dave teaching us. You remember somebody came to him one time and they couldn't get their kids to pray? They could. I mean, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They could pray. But he said, I can't get them to do it. He said, Dave, would it work if I pay them to pray? I'll give you so many dollars an hour to pray, you know. Dave, would that work? They said, absolutely it'll work. See, it doesn't matter what their heart motivation. It doesn't matter what their heart motivation is when they start. If they'll continue to pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will work on their heart motivations. He will align them with the mind of Christ and with the heart of God pretty soon. They won't need any money. Well, pretty soon. I don't know how long. It won't take too long. And there'll come a time you won't need to pay them anymore. They'll be praying because that's what they're supposed to do. So he keeps bringing me back. So while we were home during the lockup time of the pandemic, yes, sir, I heard that. It got to where... I'm sorry, this is funny. See, Sue is the gardener at our house. She is our house. There's flowers planted all around. And she, on our, bless her little heart, on our patio, you can harvest lettuce, tomatoes, bell peppers. That's on the patio. See, for me, yard work is my idea of having nothing to do. Okay? I don't get distracted by that. Different people get distracted. My soul, but though, even when it come to pray or go help her, my flesh would rather go work in the yard in the heat than stay in there and pray. I succumbed to it a few times. Well, if she asked me to help, I'd help. But anyway, so what he's trying to get around to is this. The only way I could really get in those hours on YouTube, there's these things called travelogue, sort of. It's a flyover Germany type of thing. You know, they got these videos where they put them on a drone and they're flying over the Alps or over Germany or over Switzerland. I got one video I love because I started off driving the trucks, praying. There's this one called Driving Through Switzerland. Driving through Switzerland is quite different, the scenery, than driving through Oklahoma or Kansas, okay? Oh, my goodness, the mountains and the lakes and the rivers and the, oh, my goodness. I turned the sound off, and I let my soul drive through Switzerland while my spirit prays in other tongues for hours and hours and hours and hours. Oh, yeah, another one that I like is all the national parks. You know, they have videos. See, I don't care what it takes. What he said was, make this year a year of prayer for you personally, like you've never had before. Well, that's a lot of hours for me. I don't know what it is for you. At the end of this, if there's a hall of faith still being written, I'd like to have all the names of the prayer center in there and everybody connected with this vision. And Darren changed the generation he lived in because he did the instructions he received from God. And B changed the generation she lived in because she did the instructions she received from God. And each and every one of us, Tim, Leah, Sherry, and on, changed the generation they lived in because they did the instructions that they received from God. So I'm just encouraging you again. I'm going to remind you again that the church is, I'm telling you, it's easier to pray here than it is at home. The air conditioning works great. You're free to bring, I bring a thermos of coffee with me most of the time. I bring beef jerky in case my body says, we need to leave and go get a snack. No, I got a snack. Fred's ready. I saw him with a snack here the other day. So how do you do it? But you get in the prayer time. You do it. See? Okay. Listen. We are going to live in this supernatural revival. I am telling you. Well, I'm not telling. God promises. I did a service some weeks back during the lockup where I just went through the blueprint and I just pulled out all of the promises. And he said one of the promises in there, if we will follow the instructions the same way Noah did, the same way Moses did, all of them, if we will follow the instructions, the fruit will be doing the same works as the firstborn. Listen, when that starts happening, you won't have any need. When we can, on a regular basis, not once in a great while by the gifts of the Spirit, but on a regular basis, like where Jesus did his services and he healed them all and he did it every time, you won't have to do any church growth programs. They will be knocking. They will be beating down the door. We'll be lucky to have, Dave says, when real revival breaks out, you're going to be so busy yourself laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, you'll be just begging for a little cot in one of the corners of the church. Maybe you can catch a 30-minute nap. God, give us some of that. I believe this to my socks. I believe this to my toes, or I would not be here. I'd go somewhere at a nice church where they tell me I'm already okay. Well, we are already okay. I don't mean it. See, every time I get to thinking, you've heard me say, boy, that First John series, that narrowed my path. Well, it did. You get to thinking your path is pretty narrow till you pray. Then he shows you how wide your path still is. Then he takes you through the First John, through the Sermon on the Mount series, came after. Your path gets even narrower yet. And you get to thinking, whew, man, my path is pretty narrow, until you pray. Then you find out you're part racist. and other stuff. You know. Well, what's the cure? Who has the answer? I only know one, and his name's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can change me from the inside out, conform me completely to the image of Christ. Go down. Okay. Yes, sir. He's not going to let me go very far in this. I didn't know if this was even going to happen, but open to two places. Anyway. Knowing where would be good, wouldn't it? Ephesians chapter 3 again, and Luke chapter 6 to start. Ephesians 3 and Luke chapter 6. I was so grateful that Alan didn't use that many scriptures this morning, so he didn't use that many of my verses. I didn't really have any verses till now. How do you understand? See, in the last few weeks, not Acts, Acts won't work, Ephesians. In the last few weeks, he's been having me teach on dunamis, the anointing. Because I know we're after the face of God. You know, if you find God's face, did you know if you find his face, you find his hand? We're seeking after him, not just after what's in his hand. Those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. See, when you seek me with your whole heart, that's when you'll find me. We're going to look at seek here in just a little bit. I can't go very far in this today. But he's been having me teach about this prayer because we've got a whole church worldwide. And I thank God for where the church is. But we've got a church of charismatic Christians who can speak in tongues and prophesy. But yet there's very little power manifested. And that's why he kept bringing me back to Ephesians, because we know this church at Ephesus is born again people, spirit filled, that can speak in tongues and prophesy. And I've already been through that several times. You can go back to Acts 19 and find it, where Paul started with those 12 men that he met. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We've not even so much as heard there be any Holy Ghost. Well, what were you baptized then? Well, unto John's baptism, and that's John the Baptist, and it's all they knew. So Paul had to preach Christ to them, and they became born again. They says they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Is that not, you believe on Christ and you get baptized in his name? Would you call that saved? I'd call that saved or born again. But it didn't stop there. It said he laid his hands on them. He laid his hands on them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, that's the start of your Christian Ephesus church right there. All right? So, they became a big church. Historians say it got up to be like 100,000 people by the time Timothy was pastor. But if it starts off with born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, prophesying people, don't you know they did the same with everybody that came? They got them saved and got them filled with the Holy Ghost. So this is a group of born again, this church, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, prophesying people. But look at this prayer that Paul prays for them. So Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, now he's praying for these people that are already born again, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The inner man is you. That is your born again person. That is your, God is a spirit, and at your core, you are a spirit. Ephesians 4 says that that new man is created from the moment you are born again in righteousness and true holiness. It's a, you are a new creature. That's who he's talking about. So you're the inner man, but he wants you strengthened in your inner man with might. And that's done by his Spirit. See, I'm hearing another part of the blueprint. To walk in might, you got to have that Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's more than just, see, the inner man, when you get born again, you have power, all right? You have power to walk above sin. Jesus had that power for 30 years before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. See, you've got dunamis, all right, but it's the dunamis power to walk above sin. But Jesus himself, he walked above sin for 30 years, but he did no miracle, no healing. He didn't cast out no devils until he himself had been strengthened with might by the Father's Spirit in the inner man. We call that the baptism in the Holy Ghost, but these people had already been baptized in the Holy Ghost. John G. Lake talked about this 100 years ago. He says, I'm seeing something strange. I'm seeing people that get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. They can speak in tongues, but they don't manifest any power. I never could find an answer to it until recently. Doing this year, doing these instructions, the Holy Spirit is opening up this passage. This is not a new phenomenon, apparently. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. Now that word might, I'm going to remind you again, is dunamis. That's the Greek word dunamis. It's the same word Jesus used when he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It's that dunamis. It's that same thing. This is miracle working power. And I'm not going to try and reteach all the last three or four sermons. But let's go on. See, it's only when that happens that Christ, the anointed one, dwells in your heart by faith. You can be born again, but the word Christ does not mean, that's not Jesus' last name, Jesus Christ. It means the anointed one. You remember that video we did a few weeks ago? You got the fire. Your candle has been lit. You've got the fire on the inside of you. You are a new creature. There it is. But boy, and that light, if you take that fire into a dark room, it'll bring light. I mean, we could preach all of those sermons about you light the candle and you put it on a lampstand and it lights the room, and there's a lot of good things. But it was in that video we did. It wasn't until there was a rushing mighty wind. You remember that? They hooked up 12 fans around that thing. And they got them all blowing at once. When the wind and the fire combined, you remember what happened? It produced a fire tornado about 10 foot tall. That guy was standing 20 feet away, 15 to 20 feet away. He goes, whoo, I can feel the heat off of that, see? The first meaning of the word dunamis is force. You can feel force. See, that's also, that word is translated virtue. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She felt virtue, dunamis, flow into her body, and Jesus felt it flow out. This is something you can feel, man. And this is something, you've already got this inner man. Paul is praying that we be strengthened with dunamis by the Father's Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, in our inner man. Well, I'm for that. If Paul's praying it, I'm praying it. Are we in agreement? We need that? All right. That Christ, the anointed one, would dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now I'm headed towards verse 20, but I don't want to leave anything out. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You ought to read what Smith Wigglesworth teaches about that verse. We'll get there later. He isn't kidding. Filled with all the fullness of God. But verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But notice, he only can do that according to the power. And that's that same Greek word, dunamis. No wonder Paul's praying that we'd be strengthened with it. Because it's only by that that the Father in us is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we could ask or think. It's according to the power that works in us. Jesus taught on this, and let's go back to, I'm going to take us to Luke 11. That's where Jesus taught on it. But before we do, go to Luke 6. That'll get you close. And I can only go so far in this. Why? I've got more to learn on it. I can only take you as far as I know. See, a lot of teachers want you to think they know everything. You already know I don't know everything. If you don't know it, you're stupid. How's that for a pastor? I keep telling you guys, I am not a pastor. People call me, and I don't blame them, because we don't, right now, it's a strange season that we're in, you know. People call me, and they want me to pastor them, and all I can do is tell you what the Word says. I don't know anything else. I say, well, confess the Word. I want you to, you know, that's not what they want. Pray in tongues. That's not what they want. Well, fast. They sure don't want that one. But I don't know. I don't have anything else for you. I'm not a pastor. I don't have those gifts. And when I try and do it, people get hurt. So they're already hurt. Just let them hurt that much. I mean, if you'll do what I say, I'm just telling you what the Word says. If you do that, you'll be okay, because you're turning yourself over somebody way bigger than me. The helper. Luke 6. Now we're going to, so I have to tell you what I'm going to tell you. That's what, before I tell you. We're going to go to Jesus teaching the Lord's Prayer in just a minute. Okay? Now we could all, everybody in this room, everybody listening could recite probably by heart the Lord's Prayer. Okay? Doesn't take very long, does it? I haven't timed myself. I would guess a minute or two at the most to physically say the Lord's Prayer, even as slow as I talk. Did you know people in Japan, these young people in Japan told me that listen to these messages, said, Gary, we love you, but we can't stand your Oklahoma drawl. So when they play me on YouTube, did you know you can speed it up? They play me at 1.5 speed. So we can't take it otherwise. So I did that at 1.5 times, and to me, it sounded awful, but to them, I must sound like this. They do. It's the only way we can stand you. We got to play at 1.5 times speed. Okay. Okay. Luke chapter 6. It's so hard for me to start reading where it says and. And. Okay, but we for today we got to. Good Lord, that clock is still lying, Tim. We've got to get a clock that doesn't lie. Dave kept calling it a lion clock, and somebody bought him a clock that had the face of a lion on it. He loved that clock. That was good. Okay, and it came to pass in those days that he, that's Jesus, he went out into a mountain to pray. But now notice. And continued. How long? How long? All night in prayer. Yet here you're going to see. Now get that in your mind. Jesus went out and spent all night in prayer. And I could take you other places where it says the same thing again. It doesn't always say all night. But Jesus obviously spent a lot of time in prayer. See, I used to preach because I thought it was correct. You can be going over to Luke 12 now. I used to preach, and it's okay, but no, I'm sorry, Luke 11. Luke 11, I'm sorry. that Jesus would have revival, and then he would go pray. And he'd pray, pray, pray. Then he'd have revival, and then he'd go pray. But I'm seeing that's completely wrong. Jesus would go pray. Then he would have revival. And then he would go pray. He'd get in the Father's presence. Yes, sir. We're going to introduce some things about presence today that I've never seen before. You probably have. Just going to introduce it a little bit because I can't go too far with it. He's still teaching me on it. But the part that I know, so it's safe. But you got that in your mind that he prayed at times, he would pray all night. What is that roughly? I don't know what time of year it was. 10 hours, maybe? 10 hours? I don't know. All night. Long time. Now, in Luke 11 is where we're going to read the Lord's Prayer. It's in Matthew 6 and Luke 11. Because the disciples would watch him. And he would go pray. Boy, then when he'd come out to have meetings or they'd watch miracles, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, devils be cast out. How about the maimed being made whole while they're in the service? I don't mean a leg growing out 2 inches. Thank God for that if you need it. But I'm talking about maimed means it was cut off. It was gone. Can you imagine a service where we sit and watch while God grows out a leg? I can imagine it. I want that on the World Wide Web. Every tongue, every tribe. I want the whole world to see that. So we know Jesus would do extended amounts of time in prayer. Okay. I have a timer on here. Let's see how long it takes. Hang on. All right. I'm just going to read the Lord's Prayer in my slow Oklahoma drawl, my normal. I'm not going to do it times and a half. Let's see how long it takes. Start. When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. 40 seconds. Even in my slow Oklahoma drawl, if we added this, I don't know if you've ever noticed, Luke's account does not have the doxology that Matthew's does. I'm going to add the doxology, even if we add that, see if we make it to a minute. I can resume here. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 52 seconds. So even going in my slow Oklahoma drawl, it takes less than a minute. Now, this is so important. There's a reason I'm drawing this out. And we'll have to do it this way, though. So let's start in verse 1 here of Luke 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And there's quite a bit of revelation in that verse. Number one, if they could hear what Jesus was praying, there was no reason to ask him. Isn't that right? Remember what he said, when you pray, don't do it to be seen of men. This is a thing between you and your Father. And you don't have to go into a closet. I know somebody that literally has a prayer closet. They have a walk-in closet. They put a little mattress in there, and that's where they go pray. That's fine. But the point is, it's between you and him. Now, it's fine for to pray. It's fine. The point is, what's the motive of your heart? I just want you to see here, he wasn't praying where they knew what he was praying. Otherwise, why ask him to teach them to pray? They'd already know what he prayed. It's just interesting to me that Jesus is obeying his own instruction. Prayer is between you and the Father. Don't do it to be seen of men. He's doing that. And here's another thing too. You notice they didn't interrupt him? Did you notice that? It says, when he ceased. When he ceased. They knew for Jesus, his prayer time with the Father was not to be interrupted. Most important thing that there is. A few weeks ago, the Lord gave me a mic drop moment. You know, that's when you say something and you walk off. Or right at the end of my message, I didn't do this. But he said, a mark of maturity is when you come to the place where you understand that your prayer is more important than anything that you can do. Jesus believed that. See, who actually does the works? It's the Father that does the works. So they didn't interrupt him until he was through. Whatever Jesus was praying, he wasn't praying to be seen of men because they couldn't hear him. But then they said, teach us to pray. In other words, we see the results of your prayers. And anybody can see the results of your prayers. Can you teach us to pray so we'll have results? And of all things, you know, we expect deep calleth unto deep, something. And what he gives is something we all learned in Sunday school, most of us as little kids, the Lord's Prayer. And it finally dawned on me, this is the Lord's Prayer. Now, I don't mean the actual words. This is the pattern that he prayed by. Because you can say this, unless this is the reason for the stopwatch. You can say this prayer, even going really slow, in less than a minute. So what in the world is going on all night long? See, for us, I know what it is, because we know not what to pray as we ought. For us, praying in the Holy Ghost is the best thing you can do, praying all night. Now, there's prayers you can pray. We're told certain prayers to pray with our soul. I know to pray for our president. I know to pray for the leaders that are against our president. I don't like to pray for them, but I'm commanded to pray for them with my soul. I don't like it, but that's an instruction. I would know some things to pray for Jerry and Linda Clark. I know God wants them to prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers. I could pray things for them. I don't know when their next trip to Zimbabwe is. God does. I don't know where the money's going to come from. Jerry thinks it's coming from me, but it's... I'm teasing. Maybe, I don't know. Be okay. But God knows. See what I'm saying? You can only go so far in your natural soul. Then you got to... For us, we have the great benefit and blessing of being able to turn it over to the Holy Ghost. See, I don't know how racist I am, Richard. If I could stop it, I'd stop it today. See? And I don't even know what it is. But I'm pretty sure there is. But how do you get rid of what is when you don't know what is? You go to him who knows what is and has the ability to remove what is. And that's the Holy Ghost. See? We have our instructions. We have our instructions no less than Noah had his. Are you going to wind up in the hall of faith? You changed the generation that you lived in because you did the instructions that were given you in your generation? Yes. The answer I'm going to say for you, yes. Yes, amen. And Sue obeyed God and did the instructions that God gave her. And Sue changed the generation that she lived in. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Previews of coming attractions, okay? Let me read the Lord's Prayer. This time I'm going to stop at a certain place. So they're asking him, teach us to pray. And so he's telling them how he prays. But it's not the exact words. Obviously, You don't keep saying those same, if it takes less than a minute, you don't say that all night long. It's the pattern. So there's worship in here. There's our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Man, you could preach for weeks right there. There is no other God but you. Hallowed is your name. Your name is the only name. God, I thank you that you've already looked around heaven and you've told us. You've already looked. There's no other God but you. Hallowed, holy, you're the only one. Well, on and on you could do. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, as so in earth. See, so, and I've heard well. We'll just skip that for now. We'll do it a different way. For the woman that was bowed over, was it, how many years was it? Was it 18 years? 12 years? Huh? Bunch of years. That woman that was bowed over, was it a woman? Bowed over for a bunch of years. I don't know in my mind right now. Well, let me ask you this. Had Jesus already been anointed king the day he was baptized? Sure he was. Was the kingdom, what did Jesus say? The kingdom of God is at hand. And it was at hand from that day forward. But see, it wasn't until the king came to her that the kingdom, that the will of the Father was done on earth for her. Just like it's being done in heaven. There's no bowed over people in heaven.
No.
See? So when he says, thy kingdom come, everywhere. He wants his kingdom to come everywhere. If, for the blind, for my friend Homer right now, who's blind, God's kingdom has not yet, it's here, but it's not here. God's perfect will has not yet been done. But it's going to be done. That's why he's praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then the very next thing he says, give us day by day, in Matthew's account it says daily, every day, give us every day, day by day, our daily bread. Now I'm going to read the next one, but we're going to concentrate on the bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Now, when he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then right after that, give us day by day our daily bread. Over in Matthew's account, when he teaches the Lord's Prayer, when he starts talking about bread, he's talking about you understanding God is your provider. You cannot serve God and mammon. And he does that long teaching there about consider the birds, consider the lilies. They don't sow, they don't reap, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Why take you thought? What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What are we going to drink? So in Matthew's account, the bread he's talking about there is your needs being met as you are free to seek the kingdom. But here in this one, he's talking about the anointing, if you want to know the truth of it. The bread he's talking about here is the anointing that we deliver to those that need it. This isn't even talking about you, because he expounds on it in verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Let me ask you, is loaves bread? He's talking about bread. Give us day by day our daily bread. But he says, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Listen, that's the description of the whole church at large. The halt, the lame, the sick, the blind come and we have no bread to serve them. This is not talking about your bread. He's talking here about the bread you're going to deliver from somebody else to somebody else. So the first somebody else is God the Father. But you're going to deliver the bread to somebody who needs it. Well, the first thing you got to realize is you ain't got no bread. You're not the bread. He is the bread of life. But he said, it is the Father in me, he doeth the works. Works there is bread. That's what he's giving an illustration here. Somebody comes, they're halt, they're lame, they're sick, they're blind. They need bread. I don't have any bread. Bread comes from my Father. Now here he starts off with a friend. I got a friend here. They got bread. I'm going to go get bread from them and give to this guy. You understand? He's not talking about your personal provision. He's talking about you delivering the bread. It's really talking about the anointing to open the blind eyes, heal the sick, and so forth. Okay? All right. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Boy, this is important. The door is now shut. The door is now shut. He's going to talk about doors here in a minute. And my children are with me in bed. That's important too. My children are with me. I looked it up. It doesn't necessarily mean they were all sleeping in the same bed. It just means they were all in the house asleep in beds. Okay. Now notice, I cannot rise and give thee. That's important too. There's an action by the person being petitioned that needs to happen. I cannot rise. In other words, for you to have the bread, I have to do something. Boy, it's quiet in here. Now I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, Jesus is drawing a contrast. God is not like this guy at all. He's drawing a contrast. See, one time the Holy Spirit asked me, Gary, you got any friends like that? And I got to thinking, I don't even think I have any acquaintances like that. I mean, they may not like it if I come pounding on the door at midnight. Hey, I need some bread. You got any bread? I got a friend dying over here. You got any bread? They may not like that. But I couldn't think of a single person, really, that would just, you know, blow me off. They'd say, well, they may not like it. But say, okay, all right. And they'd go get me some bread and give it to me. And I don't even have anybody like that. But see, religion always paints God like that. Yeah. You got to storm the gates of heaven, you know. Pry it out of God's hands, you know. You'd be lucky if he throws you a biscuit over the wall of the house. I mean, all kinds of images there. See? I say unto you, though he... But the point he's making, that bread would never come if you didn't ask. Now, importunity means shameless asking. Importunity means... You're really kind of overstepping your bounds, but you're doing it anyway. Shameless asking. He's going to do it because the guy just wouldn't quit. I'm going to say it another way. Wouldn't take no for an answer. But then he starts talking to us. And he says, I say unto you, what's the first word? For benefit of the tape, there are actually people here. What is the first word? You're all tired or something. Ask. And what did he say in the Lord's Prayer? Give us. Isn't that called asking? Give us. I'm going to pray it this one time. I'll never have to pray it again. Or is it ask every day? Give us day by day our daily bread. Down here he's talking about bread. And he says, I say unto you, ask. And some of you he'll give it to and some of you he won't. Is that what it says in your Bible? Ask and it shall be given you. But now notice, if that's all there was to it, wouldn't it end right there? What in the world is this about seek and you shall find, knock And it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asks receives, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, here in verse 11, thank God for verse 11. Because up until now, he's been talking about your relationship with a friend. But verse 11, he switches it. He starts talking about your relationship as a son. Male or female, doesn't make any difference. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone, or will he ask a fish, and will he for a fish give him a serpent, or will he ask an egg? Will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, in other words, compared to God, know how to give good gifts unto your children, now here it is, how much more shall your heavenly Father, this is not just a friend, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I came asking for bread. Why are you talking about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the manifester of the bread. The Holy Spirit is the anointing of God. It's you going in the power. The Holy Spirit is the dunamis. He is the power of God. He is the anointing of God. That bread you're after is the Holy Spirit. It is the Father in me. He doeth the works. Remember that lesson a few months ago? The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of your Father. Jesus would pray, lift his eyes to heaven, because he knows God is in heaven. God the Father is in heaven. But he'd also say, it is the Father in me that doeth works. Well, how's the Father in heaven? And then how's the Father in Jesus? It's the Spirit of the Father. It's the Holy Ghost. That's why he says this. Now, I'm already over. I'm already in trouble. It's okay. Hey, we're not having calling in the lost tonight. So, you know, enjoy. Boom. We can do more boom booms, more hot dogs. 4th of July. Go to the lake, catch a big fish. Something. Previews. Because, Lord, if it's just, I thought it's just a matter of asking. What is this about seeking and knocking? What is all this? Well, you got to go see, Jesus is the master teacher. You got to back up to where he was saying this. Let's go back to verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend? And shall go into him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And lend just means give. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Y'all just don't know. See, B is here, and we're family. I can talk. She loves me. We lost her sister, Helena. We battled. We warred. I mean, I'm looking around the room. Nearly all of you had your hands on Helena at one point. Praying, casting out, doing everything we knew to do. But this is, tell it like it is, we were not able to deliver the bread. And Helena went on to glory. Okay? Well, what we're after, what we're pressing towards, is where we have the bread. The anointing of the Holy Ghost, where they don't die of cancer anymore. Okay? So, with all that in mind, a friend of mine in his journey's come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. We would have had to say, Helena, I'm sorry, we don't have the bread, honey. We don't have it. We know it's available, but we don't have it. Because she died. Let's get real. Okay? But this friend from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Now notice this. He mentions a door. Jesus mentions a door. The door is shut. See, this is what religion wants you to think. Yeah, there is bread from God. He has it. But the door is shut. And that, you can't get it. A little more. And my children, notice this friend says, my children are in bed, are with me in bed. That implies, well, yeah, God has all the bread. It's implied my children are with me. What does that imply? Well, you're not my child. That's what religion wants you to think. You're just an old slimy dog worm. You'd be lucky if he throws you a biscuit over the wall. My children are in bed with me. Now notice, I cannot rise. There is an action on the part of the person behind the wall. I cannot rise and give thee. But if you come right up here, verse 13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now this is not talking about a one-time filling of the Holy Ghost. This is talking about when he says this door, again, I can only go as far as I can go today. What is this, the seeking and knocking? This is talking about you get this bread from your Father. There is a door, meaning it's open for you, and you are his child. You need to go in and get it from him. Jesus understood that, and he would stay in the Father's presence all night long. When he came out, he came out with the bread. And when we come out, we're coming out with the bread. We have our instructions for 2020. We have our instructions no less than Noah had his. Are we going to do it? It's the first meeting of the second half of the year. Recommit. Recommit yourself to doing what God has instructed us to do. Worldwide, recommit. Get those blueprints back out. Get that MP3. You can go to bronkflint.org and also daveroberson.org. It's there for you in MP3 format, PDF format. Don't just read it and hear it. Do it. Do it. Because we're coming, I believe. Yes, sir. Oh, there it is, that other one. Okay. There's a prophecy going around right now. He doesn't call it a prophecy. It's a dream. I don't want to mention names. He's a nice guy. I've seen, it's a YouTube thing. A pastor in Kentucky. I like this guy. I mean, he's very believable. He's not pretentious at all. And he's got two YouTubes with several dreams. Well, they're very scary. If those come to pass, America's going to be quite different. Okay? If those come to pass. Well, somebody else sent me some other prophecies by people that I trust. And they're almost the opposite of that. So everybody is sending me, Gary, what do you think? I'll just read you what I responded to one of them. Here's one right there. I am sorry to send you these videos, same two that I'm talking about. Everybody is talking about it. Your take on it? I said, I am not a prophet. Many have asked me about it also. Here is my advice. Love God and serve Jesus every day. Because what if the dreams are true? I have my instructions. What if the other prophecy is true? I have my instructions. I already know what I'm supposed to do this year, not just through November, through this year. God knew all of that before he gave us these instructions. Sure, I'm curious. I'll be interested to see how it all pans out, but I'm not a prophet. That's not my job. I have my instructions. Don't we all have our instructions? Reset. This is the first weekend, the first service of the second half of the year. Recommit to the blueprint. Recommit to the blueprint.